You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Colorado Rockies. I'm Alex Porter, and I am here with Thomas Harding, who is my wonderful colleague, who covers the Rockies for MLB.com. And the Rockies have been in the offseason for about 7 weeks now, I guess. And not a lot of news coming out of your camp, Thomas, but of course the big news that has happened since I last talked to you is that Michael Kadire not only turned down the Rockies qualifying offer, but he also signed with the Mets before that deadline. So let's just talk about, you know, what was the organization's reaction? I know what their public reaction was to that, but, you know, how were they really feeling about that, and where did they go from here?
Well, Kadire plays first base in the outfield. Those are two areas of depth for the Rockies. I believe that they thought they may be able to keep him, that it may help kind of set things in offseason. But if you look at it, they are covering those areas. Of course, Carlos Gonzalez hopefully being healthy in right field, and Justin Morneau at first base. It's still, though, the situation where the Rockies need pitching and they need to find a way to get it, and it's not clear exactly which way they'll go. Will they make some big trades? Will they up the payroll a little bit to go after some free agent pitching? We're just not sure at this point.
So what does that do? I mean, just from, you know, Kadire was extremely valuable. I mean, he's just a year removed from winning the batting title. He's a two-time All-Star with the Rockies and seemed like a really, like a clubhouse leader, great guy, that kind of thing. I mean, what does that just do to the dynamic of the team? Is that kind of overrated? I mean, how that can affect? And is this a big, would you say that his teammates, I guess, consider this a pretty big loss?
Well, I think the teammates would consider it a loss because he was a leader around there and certainly helped other guys out, and other guys helped him. The issue there, though, is you can have all the leaders and all the hitters you want, but if you can't pitch, that hurts a little bit. So that's the big question with this team. If they're in the race next year and suddenly they're struggling for offensive production, then you have to look back and say, gee, it would have been nice to have kept Michael Kadire. But right now, having seen the 3 years that Kadire was here, yeah, he did have some injuries, but when he was there, he was very productive. The question, though, was where was the pitching? And they're going to have to find a way to get pitching in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that could be said about just about every team in baseball, but of course the Rockies have a little bit of an added challenge just because you need pitching and getting, I mean, we talked about it, getting the pitchers to want to come to Colorado, to Denver, is a little bit of a challenge, I guess. And so they just kind of have to overpay maybe or, you know, be extra nice in these meetings. Who knows? But I guess that is like kind of an uphill battle for the front office year after year. It's been that way since basically the start of the franchise.
Yeah, it has been. And for years, they haven't been willing to go and overpay for pitching. I guess they did it many years ago with Mike Hampton and Danny Nagel. Now, what they were doing was they were overpaying for two of the big pitchers on the market right then. So here's the question I believe the Rockies have to ask themselves is maybe that second-tier type of pitcher that's out there, do they go ahead and pay that guy a little bit more than the other teams and bring him in here and hope he ends up making a difference here? You know, they traded many years ago for Jorge De La Rosa, but he's turned out to be the type of pitcher that can last here. He's pitched very well at Coors Field. Seems to have found a way to make the park not ruin him. So the question there is, can they find that pitcher, and will they pay a little bit more for that type of pitcher?
You know, it's funny they bring up Hampton and Nagel because, of course, not only were those two record-breaking contracts that were signed, they were also considered two of the biggest disasters probably of any signing in Major League Baseball. And I'm kind of laughing at, you know, when the hot stove season starts and everyone starts talking about free agents that are available and some of the dollars that might be thrown around. And it just makes me laugh because, of course, I just came off of the postseason where I covered a lot of teams where they just, like, it was consisting largely of homegrown players. So, I mean, you look at the Cardinals, when you look at the Royals, you know, and they built their team from scratch and developed their own players, and now people are just going to absolutely lose their minds in the free agent market in over the winter. And I guess that's always going to happen. I mean, it's kind of fun to talk about this with, like, some of the teams that aren't going to be big players, the Rockies obviously being one of those. But do you kind of, like, think it's, you know, interesting that while it's been proven time and time again that you just have to really draft and develop your own players, that people are still going to overpay on the free agent market?
Well, I think what happens is if you draft and develop your own players, you can use them for a number of different things, whether it is to have those guys on the field or whether they're trade bait. I mean, you look at the Kansas City Royals, one of the biggest things they did was trade some of their young talent to bring in a James Shields and, you know, a couple of the outfielders they got in trades also. They got Aoki in a trade. I think that, yeah, you build from within, but also you have to make shrewd decisions with the guys that you do build with. And some teams, the Rockies have been accused of this, have been accused of holding on to a guy maybe beyond his optimal trade value. So there is that. I think it all goes back to drafting and developing your own people. And the Rockies, they have some pitchers below the major league level. Yeah, there are questions about them. There will always be questions about young pitchers coming into Coors Field. But if those guys develop, eventually that's where you can maybe have some staying power here. But when you have a lineup like the Rockies have, the question you're faced with is, do you go out and get that key free agent to maybe solidify the pitching and then let that lineup do what it does, and all of a sudden you're a contender?
Let's talk a little bit about, just let's assume that maybe the Rockies want to make a deal or two. I was reading some of your coverage, and you had mentioned some of the possible tradable players. You know, we call them trade bait, but tradable players that might be able to bring in something. What do you think about the sort of, like, how much those guys would be able to bring in? And more Stubbs, Rosario. Just talk a little bit about that and what they might, the value that they have to the team and what they might be able to bring.
Well, if you look at the Rockies, even when they've won, they haven't won with the number one and number two pitchers. They've been basically a set of three and fours with maybe a number two in there. You already have De La Rosa. Tyler Matzek pitched pretty well last year. You're hoping that Yolis Chacin comes back from his shoulder issues. Maybe you don't need the front of the rotation star pitcher. If you can make a deal with one of those guys there, maybe you can get a back of the rotation pitcher. Or even if you're able to sign a pitcher in free agency, then you can get another bullpen piece, which I think that they need. I think they need a couple of three bullpen pieces, actually. So there are many things that can be done. The question is, how much do they bring you? I mean, Justin Morneau was the batting champion last year. There's been a lot of speculation about the possibility of trading him. The question there, though, is how much does a guy at that age bring in for you? Willian Rosario, he's entering his first year of arbitration. If a team is looking for a catcher, DH-type guy, maybe he could bring you something. Drew Stubbs had a very good year in Colorado last year. I think the question in the industry is how much of that was playing at Coors Field, because he did have pretty dramatic home road splits, and how much of that was him kind of figuring out his hitting stroke also. And if you look at the extra base hits and things like that, they're really in line with what you thought Drew Stubbs would be when he came up. So there are some tradable players in there. The question being, how much do they bring you? And the question I go back to at the beginning is, maybe do they make a little bit more expenditures on their payroll, bring in a couple of solid free agent type pitchers and do it that way?
I think it's I found the Giancarlo Stanton signing, or the pending signing, really fascinating, not just because it's just unbelievable amount of money and it comes from the Marlins, which are not considered to be, you know, flush with cash, but kind of the domino effect also. Do you think, you know, just being a baseball insider and someone who's covered the team for a long time, covered baseball for a long time, do you think that this will have an effect like this is going to be a hardship kind of for other teams that want to sign other free agents or keep their own players before they go free agent? I mean, do you think this is going to totally skew the entire scale? I mean, kind of like what everyone thought when A-Rod signed his deal, which was like $100 million more than the next highest paid player. Do you see that kind of happening again?
I do see that some teams will try to get in and sign the player, saying, listen, the dollars will be even more if you go out there, but let's try to get you in here a little bit quicker. My question, though, about those is, we watched the signing of Troy Tulowitzki here for a number of years, and because of injuries, that hasn't worked out the way that anybody really wanted it to. The question is, when you sink that many resources in one guy and you're not a big payroll team where you can just simply pay your way out of injuries and mistakes, what happens if Giancarlo Stanton gets hurt? That's my question with the Marlins. I think it's actually a pretty good, solid team around him to where this could lead to some very good days for that franchise. But, you know, yeah, you'll have some guys make some money now. The question is, will guys believe that they're Giancarlo Stanton, but they're not really that guy, and will that create some salary squabbles?
And talking about Tulowitzki, let's just kind of end on him. I mean, he's been rehabbing, and after that he had the surgery on his left hip, kind of dialing up the intensity in rehab, and he's on target to be ready for spring training. Is that correct? And do you have any feelings like that may not happen, or do you feel pretty confident that when he gets to spring training, he's going to be sort of on everybody's schedule?
I believe he'll be in spring training on everybody's schedule. A number of players in the past have had this. I mean, you go back even before his final season, Todd Helton had the same type of surgery on the hip labrum. Now, when you go into the season, what you hope is that by repairing that hip labrum, which has been a problem for a number of years, maybe some of the leg injuries kind of go away. But one of the things, and I was talking with somebody about this who's had the surgery, is that sometimes when you have one hip labrum, you really have to be careful with the other hip labrum. So I'm hoping that it's not more injuries for Troy Tulowitzki, but definitely he'll have to really be on point with his rehab and his preparation every day. And I will say this about him. The last three or so years, I have watched him really step up the preparation on game day and after the games. All of the exercise, all of the rehab, he's doing this with his hip hurting. And what you're hoping is that when he comes out of it, he's working every bit as hard just to prevent this from happening again.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eye on it. And I guess I'll see you at the winter meetings, so we'll be able to do this face-to-face, which will be fun. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving, Thomas. Thank you very much.
All right, you too.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.